Earlier this month, the Southern African nation of Angola celebrated 1 year of relative peace following 27 years of brutal civil war. That peace began in April of 2002 with the signing of a ceasefire agreement between the communist Angolan government and the UNITA rebels backed by the United States and South Africa. The agreement was made possible because of the death earlier that year of longtime UNITA leader Jonas Savimbi, killed by government troops. The Christian Children's Fund has been in Angola since 1994, attempting to help children affected by the war there. They've recently put together a collection of words and drawings by the children of Angola. It is at the same time their response to the experience of war and their hopes for a future without it. The book is called Free to Play in Peace. Mary Daly is director of the Christian Children's Fund in Angola. She helped to put together the book and translated the words of the children into English. And Carlinda Montero has been with CCF Angola since the program was launched in 1994. They join us on the line from Luanda in Angola. Thanks so much to both of you for speaking to us.
You're welcome, Linda. We're pleased to be able to speak to you.
First, let me ask you a question, Ms. Daly. Could you give us an idea of what is the imprint of all that long, terrible war on Angola?
It's difficult to say it in a few words, but I would say it's primarily people. You lose your people's social capital. During 27 years, a large percentage, about one-third of the population, have not been living normal lives, so they have, in many cases, forgotten how to live normally in communities. At levels of infrastructure, I mean, we no longer have roads, we don't have market access. Most people haven't grown their food for the last 10 to 15 years. It's difficult to explain, but Africa is a very unforgiving terrain. If you have left an area, rural area, for even 5 years, it's completely overgrown. So essentially, you're talking about a society that it's not even beginning at zero. You have to shed a whole lot of hate, vengeance, and acquire skills which many of us would consider normal, and you don't have anybody to learn from.
So what was it that the Christian Children's Fund thought it would be able to do with children in these horrible circumstances?
It cannot do miracles. The CCF psychosocial approach was an effort to work with communities such that they again began to put children at the center of their community, even under difficult circumstances. Because once your community is deprived of all its material resources, it becomes very difficult in a survival environment to remember that children are the future.
One of the children who is quoted in your book, it's on page 48. I wonder if you could read for us. This is a little girl of 10.
Mm-hmm. This girl at the time she was interviewed last year was still living in a camp in BA. She said, "The only thing you can do is cry. When I think about it, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, and my heart beats fast like a pain in my chest. When I think about the war, I cannot sleep. I dream about my mother. She comes to get me and she takes me on her back. When I waken up, it feels as if my mother was here. It frightens me and I shout out. I'm always dreaming, and I wake up terrified and I cannot sleep again. I feel as if my arms have been broken. I'm sad because I'm all alone. I'm frightened that the war will come again."
What can you do for a child like that?
There have been cases similar to this one, and in many cases what has happened is that children have witnessed their parents being killed. Their parent may have died on a landmine, or they may have been shot in an attack on the village. Because it's an attack, the children, everybody flees, and the children get separated not only from their family but their community. But what happens, the child, and it also happens adults, is that they are constantly haunted by the memory and the spirit of their next of kin because they weren't properly buried. In some cases, what happens if the children's parents are dead, you work with the community such that the community organizes a wake and a funeral ceremony without a body. And this, in many cases, resolves the child's problem because the child feels that he or she has a responsibility in relation to the spirit and the memory of his parent.
In the West, we think in terms of post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know, that people who've been through terrible experiences, that there are ways of helping them deal with it. Does anything of that kind work for the children of Angola?
Not at all, and that was one of the first lessons. Within a Bantu understanding of society, individuals don't exist as individuals. You are only a person in so much that you relate to other people and that you contribute to your community. Their idea of illness and ill-being is not the same as in the West. Many children show symptoms of, they may wet their beds, they may have dreams, they may have insomnia. They may feel, they won't call it depressed, but they may withdraw from the people around them. But the solution is not counseling, because they need to be able to shed the pain. And in many communities, they have traditional ceremonies, and the community supports them to say, this is my past, this is what happened, now put it into my past and I can move forward.
What happens to children like this when they grow up? Does it change them? Are they different kinds of adults than they might have been? I mean, are they suited for peace, these children?
I can't answer that question. I don't think anybody can. I think one of the things we said about our book, we said in the introduction, was that what was remarkable about the book is that the children were so sane and so stable in spite of all that happened to them.
And in the section on what peace will be like and what the future will be like, there are some lists of things that will be possible if there is peace. They're almost like poems.
Yes, they are.
Would you choose one of those and read it to us?
Angola had war, but we have peace now. We will have houses. We will not live in grass huts anymore. We will live in pretty houses and we will cultivate the fields. We will try very hard to live well together. To live well, we need to work to have lots of food. We don't want to be hungry anymore and we don't want to live a tough life. We want hospitals for the children.
And that was a little girl who was 9 years old.
Yeah. There's one other, I can't remember where it is, but there's a lovely one where a little boy says, I want to build a house for my mummy. It will have two rooms and it will have a plant outside the door.
Ms. Daly?
Yes?
Could I speak with Carlinda Montero?
Yeah. Just Carlinda's beside me. I'll pass her over now. Hello?
Ms. Montero, you've worked with these children and you know many of them. Have you found that this project has helped them?
Yeah, you know, this is the first time that they could talk about what's happened to them. And, you know, it is very important for them to understand that people care about what's happened to them.
You divide the book into sections, When I Grow Yes. Up, Impact of the War, Resilience, Peace.
Yes.
The thing I noticed as I go through it is that when they talk about their needs and their hopes and their concerns, they have very simple, ordinary things that they want and that they look forward
yeah.
to.
You know, the question is, when you have nothing, it's quite easy to know what you want. And this is the situation with these kids.
They say things like, when I grow up, I want to get married, I don't know why. Or, here's another one, when I have my own children, I want them to be able to eat all kinds of food.
Yes.
One child said that peace means new clothes, more students in the school, a table, dishes, and a bed. They don't want much, do they?
Yes.
Is there something that we can take from this book to help children who are the victims of other conflicts?
One of the things that we found was quite, it's bad in a sense, but it's good in another sense, is that when you are living in a country where there are war, people start thinking about themselves very badly. And when you say that there are other countries where there are also war, it's like, oh, we are not the only ones that passed through this situation. There are other people that also passed through the same and survived.
Ms. Montero, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Carlinda Montero talked with us from Luanda in Angola. We also spoke with Mary Daly. Both women work with the Christian Children's Fund, which has published the book Free to Play in Peace. There are pictures and passages from the book at npr.org.